All right. So today we're talking about blogging. This is the Newbie Bloggers Mastermind. And it all kind of comes together, you know, building a better business. And one of the ways to market, of course, is blogging. And one of the ways to market or actually monetize, not only blogging, but also in masterminds and master classes and that sort of thing. And Ruth has done a 5-day challenge and she now has a masterclass coming up. So Ruth, tell us about your masterclass.
Well, it really is another 5-day challenge, Kathy, and it starts next Monday. It will be at noon Eastern, so it will conflict on Monday with this. It won't be newer bloggers, but it'll be the better business one. But it'll be an hour, and it's going to be all 5 days for an hour.
Okay.
And, you know, I know, Debbie, you did that evening thing with me. It's going to be a lot of that, but it will be more in depth, or, you know, we'll have an hour each day to do it. And of course I always add new stuff in all the time. You know, if whatever is being downloaded to me gets downloaded to everybody else. And so, yeah, it's going to be great. I'll put the link, if you don't mind, Kathy, in the chat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And I love it.
You know, and when I get done here talking, because I'm not good at doing two things at one time.
I get it.
And I did notice that Sally, and both Sally and Kathy, forwarded one of my posts on that. So thank you to both of you on that. So it's all good. I do feel like I've really got something that is good and gives merit to people. It gives value to people and what they have and what's going on with their life. But I do believe it's something that you need to hear more than once, mm-hmm. because it is so deep. Would you agree with that, Debbie?
Totally. I need repetitiveness. I'm getting better, but it's slow.
Right. So I don't, even if you had heard it before, if you'd been in the last challenge and it's set up, you know, we're going to be this one. I'm going to be stretched in another way because I'm going to be stretched through the technology. It's going to be on my Zoom this time rather than on Brendan's Zoom. So I'm the one that probably going to be responsible for recording it. And then I will post that recording in the Facebook group. So that's my new learning curve there as far as the technical part of it. So if you do miss a day, like next Monday, then, you know, you can always watch the recording. You can jump in on Tuesday, whatever you want to do. And it is complimentary. It is free. There is an option to upgrade to a VIP, which is an additional hour, where it's going to be more individualized, more in depth. But the main sessions are complimentary. So I encourage everybody just to jump on that link and sign up. Because I can guarantee that you will take more than one golden nugget away with you.
Did you put the link in the chat?
I haven't quit talking yet.
I know, two things at once, right?
Now, Ruth, I will advise, number one, practice with your recording ahead of time. You can do that. Just go in on your Zoom. You will have a private Zoom room that probably not advertised, and you don't have to even have anybody on the call. You can just open it up and play around with it. You can record and you know, and you can click on you know, any of the buttons across the bottom and just get comfortable with Zoom, and you can kind of do that on your own.
I've done some of that, mm-hmm. and you know, I've recorded some different things, and I know how they convert back. You know, mm-hmm. you either download them to your computer or to the iCloud. You know, and then, so I think I'm okay with that. I might need to do a little bit more, but, you know, I think that part is getting there.
Now, but, yeah. One of the things that I like to do is as soon as I open up the Zoom call, make someone your co-host in case you get frozen or bumped out, because somebody has to, because right now Zoom requires that you either have a password or you have a waiting room. Mm-hmm. And are you doing a webinar or are you doing an actual meeting?
A meeting.
Okay. So you're either going to have a waiting room or a password. And if you choose waiting room and you get bumped out, somebody has to know to let you back in through the waiting room.
Well, and you know, I learned a lot when I did that the evening mastermind the other day, and I could not make somebody a co-host. And it was how I had my settings in Zoom set up, my general settings in Zoom, you know. And so Brendan was on there and he was going to help me, but I couldn't make him co-host. I had to make him a host and I didn't want to do that. So we've got that corrected.
Okay. And now, if it's somebody you trust, you can make them a host. If it's somebody you trust to, you know, to, they understand where you're going with your meeting, you can make them a host in a pinch. If you get into a pickle and have to make somebody a host, because sometimes your co-host will want to share a screen or participate and they're not just a behind the scenes person. Like for me, I'll have a speaker and I'll make my speaker the co-host. And then they'll say, Kathy, I can't share my screen on it because they're going to getting ready to present. And so a couple of times, because I too didn't have my settings correct back in the basic settings, I had to make them a host. So I just tell it right out in front of everybody. I go, okay, I'm going to make you the host, but if I get bumped out, you got to promise to let me back in. And everybody laughs. And so anyway, I just kind of roll with it like that. But once you work the bugs out, see, then you'll have a little bit better experience because you won't worry so much about that stuff. The other thing that I do is I immediately click on the participants and they pop up along the side.
I know.
And then I automatically click on the chat and it pops up on the side. So now I have everybody's faces and on the sidebar, maybe about a fourth of my computer screen, I can see all my participants' names and I can see all the chat as it's happening in real time. And so I do that if I'm the only one that is moderating so that I can see when somebody jumps in the room and I can see when somebody makes a comment. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I did that. My eyes are such that sometimes if it's small, I struggle.
Okay.
And I, you know, so, but I really think it's going to go great. I mean, I'm not anxious. I'm really not.
Good.
You know, it's sort of like once you've done this, you can do it again.
Yes. And it gets easier. The more often you do it, the easier it gets. Yeah. Sally, don't you agree? You've been doing a lot of Zoom calls and it's probably easier when you're hosting one because you've done several now.
Yeah. I haven't hosted any, but I've been on a lot of Zoom calls and I've done a lot of presentations. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Debbie is doing her fireside chat with Debbie Marks. And so she's on Zoom on her own Zoom channel now. And so she's learning all of that stuff as well. So it does work, but it's helpful to have somebody in your corner. Now, sometimes I come onto a Zoom call and I really don't have a co-mod or a co-host, but somebody that I know will jump on the call. For example, you gals may have had it happen to you. If any of you gals jump on any call with me, I will probably make you a co-host because you know my objective, you know what I'm doing. And so you're a little more familiar with my style. And so I'll automatically make you a co-host. And you can have more than one co-host, by the way.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that way I just want to get one or two people in my corner early on in the Zoom call, just in case, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. Okay.
One more quick question. Like my Zoom is set up with a passcode, but then the waiting room, but I don't think you have to have the passcode.
I have mine set up that's either or, and I clicked off the password or the passcode and just use the waiting room.
Okay.
That's easier.
Yeah. Now, if I'm doing, and here's my claim to fame. If I'm doing a free meetup, I will put it over on the webinar side. Because the webinar side just puts everyone in the audience. No one can talk. Mm-hmm. No one can share their screen. No one can do anything inappropriate because these are names of people I've never met because they're just coming in off of a meetup or a Facebook group that I'm, you know, it's all free. So I put all of my free stuff now over on the webinar side. Then once I click on the participants, which is in the bar across the bottom where you've got participants, when I click on that, my participants list show up along the side, like I was explaining earlier. And from there, if I mouse over their name, it gives me a button, the three dots, where I can either move them over to a presenter, I can allow them to talk, I can, it lets me pick individually who I want to let on stage, if you will. So if I'm just presenting, a lot of times I'll just put me and the presenter over on this screen. I leave everyone else over there and tell them if you have questions or comments, put it in the chat. Another thing that I did in my basic setup and settings is you can choose whether to have a Q&A and a chat, or just the Q&A or just the chat. I disconnected the Q&A.
Okay.
And I just use the chat. And the reason that I do that is because I didn't want to chase the Q&A and the chat and the participants coming into the room and who might be, you know, doing something inappropriately behind the scenes. It was too much for me to watch all at once. And so I just do the participants and the chat. Those are the only two. And I actually clicked off the Q&A over in the general settings. So again,
I didn't realize you could see participants and chat at the same time.
If you click it, what it is on my screen, about three quarters right of here. it is just our pictures. And then off to one side, I've got the participants at the top, and it's a scrolling, so I can scroll to up and down. And I have the chat at the bottom. It's like a split screen, top and bottom, and I can scroll up and down in the chat.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I do that. So again, so that I can, because oftentimes I'm the one monitoring the whole thing and I'm trying to keep my thoughts straight because I'm presenting. And so it's like, I'm wearing all these hats. I'm presenting and I've got an eye on the chat and the participants all at the same time. And after a while that gets hard to do if you've got something going on over there that needs your attention.
That's where I struggle, is because I like to just focus on what I'm saying.
Well,
and focus on the people.
And that's what I did the last time is I had one of my mastermind members jumped onto one of my free calls. And I just, and the first thing I asked her is I said, are you going to hang in here for the, and she says, oh yeah, I'm going to stay for the whole call. And I said, can I make you my co-host? And I said, and would you monitor the chat for me? And she said, oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
And so I made her a co-host, and then I didn't have to watch the chat. Then she could kind of interrupt, if you will, and she could say, Susie has a question. She wants to know, blah, blah, blah. Right. And that way I didn't have to keep monitoring the chat and the participants and the videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it becomes a lot if you've got very many people. And so I'm really happy to see when Debbie is doing her fireside chat with Debbie Marks, that there's usually only three or four of us, because that way Debbie can kind of learn how to do all of that before she has like 200 on a call. And as it grows, I've had as many as 100 in one of my happy house hunters.
Wow. And
you kind of have to know the ropes before you have that number of people. Because you can't keep an eye on that number all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to know the ropes by then. So it's a growing process. So I'm happy to have smaller groups to get started. I love that. So anyway, I want to share my screen. I'm going to show you one thing today on the blogging, and then we are just going to do some round robin questions. So the first thing, again, the month that we're in was we're talking about how to personalize and customize your blog. So I'm just going to hit the high points because we've been through this and all of us now. Ruth, have you picked a platform yet to blog? Are you blogging on your WordPress?
Getting closer.
Okay, so Sally's already launched on HostGator. I'm launched on HostGator. Debbie's launched on HostGator. So the first thing when you go to any platform is you have to pick your theme. And so when Sally was getting started, and I'll use Sally as an example, she wasn't sure exactly how to move around in HostGator. And so I went in and I said, well, let me help you get started. And she gave me her password. So I went in onto her HostGator and picked a beach theme, you know, because she's a travel, and of course, mermaid travel. I thought, okay, that, you know, something to do with the ocean, because we're talking about mermaid. And Sally, am I correct? You're still using that same theme?
Yep.
Yeah. So anyhow, it had like weathered wood in the background as a graphic, and then it had some seashells and starfish and things. And so that was the theme. So the main thing is to pick a theme that represents your voice. Now for me, and again, if I just jump over, my theme was just a color theme. I just wanted this same burgundy red that was on my regular website, so that folks thought they were still on my website, just a different page. So see, I picked this, so that became my theme. I like the layout of where the blogs all came down this left column, and all the tags were over here in the right. And then at the bottom, this little pop-up comes in to join our email list. And so I liked the, and see, here's all the different, you know, you can click through the last 13 and it keeps going, you know, it rolls to where you can just keep clicking through all of my blog posts in the order of the date that I actually issued those. But I wanted the color to be more my theme. So it could be graphics, it could be colors, it's whatever keeps your voice to go with the rest of your products and services, because your blog is going to be a small part of everything else that you're doing. And so you don't want to disconnect there from your audience. You don't want your audience to find your website or to find a book you've written or to, you know, whatever they find. And then when they land on your blog post, they feel like, who's this? You know, I don't recognize. So you want to keep some kind of continuity. So the theme is the first thing when you're actually customizing your blog. The second thing is to incorporate photos into your written content. How many times have we looked at a post on Facebook and it's the picture that catches our attention first? Then we read what the writing says. And of course, Instagram took it a step further, is they start with the picture. That Instagram is all about the picture. Whereas Facebook, you can write, you know, a whole book on Facebook if you want to, and no picture at all. But a lot of people will scroll right by those because it's the picture that captures their attention. So when I do a blog, I try to put a picture that actually says what that particular blog post is about. So here's my picture on my last blog. What do you think my blog post was about? It was about blogging content. Yeah. And what do you think this one's about? She's on the scales and the other little girl saying, try it again without the socks.
weight loss.
Yeah. Four steps to a healthy weight loss.
See, oh so my picture, gosh.
See, now, what do you think this one's about?
Freedom.
Mm-hmm. Fresh. That was my first word.
Yep, freedom, peacefulness, whatever. It's nine things emotionally healthy people do. Mm. So try to make your picture actually tell a story. That's what's going to make folks want to click on your blog post. So incorporate photos. So stay true to your voice. Again, some folks have a little bit of humor the way they tell things. Some folks, you know, have little... who all in on this call knows Eric Pearson? I think Debbie does and Ruth does. He's, you know, he's written a couple of books. He's in Carrie's group. He has such a dry sense of humor. So whenever he writes anything, it always has that really dry sense of humor about it. And if he wrote something other than that, I wouldn't recognize it as his, because that's his voice. That's his voice. Some people write more technical. All of their blog posts are going to be more technical. Some blog posts are more emotional. And so stay true to your voice, because people know when it's not you. Okay. So stay true. And brand. Now, again, my colors not only are about customizing, but it's about branding. This burgundy color, I have made it my brand color. And so Sally knows when I did my the expo table on Saturday morning, that was my old brand colors, and I've not done a lot of expos for my online academy. And so it was very clear to me, because remember, action comes first and clarity comes second. It was very clear to me after I set up my table on Saturday morning that I need to do better at my branding. I need to, you know, I love Sally's little banner that she has behind her right there. It's a little tabletop banner. And so I need to get a tabletop banner with my burgundy border on it. And I need to get my table coverings and everything on my, if and when I do an expo, I need to pay more attention to my branding. So that was a good learning curve for me. Debbie, yes.
Sally, where did you get your poster or signage behind you?
Yeah, that's a tabletop. What do they call them?
It's a banner. It's a retractable banner.
Yeah. I got it from a woman I worked with. Her name is Georgia.
But oh, I remember her.
Yeah, I don't. She kind of dropped off the map.
Oh.
She used to be in our networking group, and I can't even remember the name of her company, but she did that, and she did the table drape I have too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
which was perfect branding. I mean, you looked at Sally's table, you knew exactly what she did. When you looked at my table, people would come over and go, "Now, what is it that you do?" See, my table didn't scream what I did. It you know, once they saw some of my material, then they knew what I did. But at a glance, they did not know what it was I was offering. And we knew exactly what Sally was offering.
Although I do have people ask me, like, "Are you a travel agent?" I say, "Oh, no, I just like."
Well, with a name like Mermaid Travel, that's odd to me that somebody would say, "Are you a travel agent?" Because that's kind of, you know,
yeah,
that's. But kind of what you do, but anyway, her branding was good. Now there were some others there that morning that at a glance I knew exactly who they were and what they did. And then there was a couple that, again, they didn't have the banner, they didn't have the signage on their table covers, and you had to actually go over and maybe look around on their table to try to figure out what it was they actually were doing, what they were representing that morning. So branding is so important. And so that was a good lesson for me. Color, and again, like my colors, Sally's colors are all beachy colors because of the Mermaid Travel. That's her brand. And so that's why when I helped pick her theme for her blog, I picked the one that looked, you know, like it went with her brand. And so colors are very important when it comes to branding. And so then taglines. Now taglines, that serves to inform new readers what they can expect. And so with mine, with Freestyle Living, it's to help you develop your path. And so a good tagline for me, when I look at my actual website, and I love this sentence right here. Design your path so that you can experience freestyle living. I love that as a tagline, because freestyle living means something different for everyone. And so my tagline, if I use that as my tagline, and so what I did when I finally put this graphic together, Freestyle Living Tribe, I use that, design your path to freestyle living. That becomes my tagline. Because when you're talking to me about whether you want to invest in real estate, or whether you want to monetize a blog, or whether you want to write from anywhere in the world, or whatever it is you want to do, you're designing your path to freestyle living. That's the ultimate goal of everyone that works with me. So that's my tagline. Debbie's had an aha moment, I can tell.
I did. Sorry.
Okay. And then your profile page or your bio, it's different from your tagline. It's actually tells folks a little bit about who you are. Because remember, we talk often about folks will do business with you once they know, like, and trust you. And so there's different ways that you can get your bio out there. And one of the ways, you could have a little sidebar, you could have a widget that pops up. And so when you look at my site, here is a little bit of a bio, kind of a miniature bio of me right here with my picture. where it says a lot of people sit on the sidelines of life, hoping that their dreams will come true one day, but nothing happens in life unless you take action. Your dream lifestyle isn't going to magically show up at your doorstep. A dream becomes a goal when action is taken toward its achievement. Today is the beginning of anything that you want. Are you ready to fly? And so there is a little bit of a bio about people can say, okay, this is what she's about. But then I have a work with me page actually on my blog where it talks a little bit more about me. Okay. And it says, Kathy can help you create a plan for personal development. So you can see where it's all about creating a plan, creating a plan. And so I have a little bit of a different bio here than I do on my website, only because I didn't want all of it to sound exactly, you know, the same, like I just copy and pasted, because I wanted people to feel like every time they land on something about me, they learn something more. They learn a little bit more about me. So it doesn't conflict. You know, you don't want one bio on your website and a different bio on your blog to totally conflict. Or the bio that you put with the book that you just published. I had to write a bio for the book. So wherever they land on a bio about you, you want them all to work together. But each time the reader gets to learn something more about you, they feel like, I'm getting a clearer picture of who she is. And so you can put that out there a lot of different ways. Now you say, what is a widget? I'll show you what a widget is. A widget is just it's just some software coding, and here's a widget. If you scroll down on the front of my blog, this little pop-up is a widget. That is just some little programming coding that went on in the back of the house that this popped up. And with HostGator, it makes it real simple, because HostGator says it's going to be a join your email list widget, because that's what you want on your blog. Is you, the ultimate goal with a blog is you want to build an email list. That's the whole point of having your blog, for people to get to know, like, and trust you, so that when you do want to offer, you know, something for free or whatever, they have, you have that email list. Now I'm actually building my email list inside my Teachable, because Teachable is my baseline program. So at the end of the day, if you ask me, if you could pick where all the people that know about you, where they land, where would you want them to land? I want them to land on Teachable, because that's where I'm monetizing my business. That's where they can give me money. To be blunt, that's where people can give me money. And that's where you want everything ultimately to point to. So if they go to my website, they click through and end up on Teachable. If they go to my blog post and get on my email list, they end up on Teachable. If they come to a free meetup and sign up for a free meetup, they end up in Teachable. So that's where I'm actually building my email list. Now, does that make sense to everybody? Questions? I can see some confusing looks, because everybody's business is a little different. That's not where you're going to have people end up if that's not your goal. So where can people give you money? It could be your website. You want everybody to end up on your website. Well, if you end up on my website here, see, the first thing that happens is it says, do you want to come to a free meetup? Do you want to take a course, or do you want to join a mastermind? Well, if you click right there for a free meetup, guess where it takes you? On Teachable. See up here, my URL. Because this is where they can sign up, and it tells what we're about. It tells who is heading it up. And then it goes through and tells all of the replays, you know, and the questions, like, these are completely self-paced online replays. How long do I have access? Lifetime. What if I'm unhappy? You can unsubscribe at any time. Get started now. When they click through, the first thing Teachable asks them for is their email address. They now have an account in my Teachable, because that's ultimately where I'm building my email list. So if they go to the free meetup, they end up in Teachable. Well, what if they click on the course? If they click on the course, guess what? Teachable. So now they have a limited time. There's the prize. Who's it for? What's it for? When's it for? Where? Why? How? There's my who, what, when, why, how. And when you come down, here it is. Finding. These are all the topics. Funding. The real estate one. Bless you, Debbie. Thank Click you. On down. Here's fixing. Flipping. Here's all the core. They can see what's in the course. Filling. They can say, wow, yeah, there's a lot of information here. I think, you know, when does it start and finish? It course starts now. It never ends. They have lifetime after enrolling, and at any time they can unsubscribe and their information will be deleted from the database after 30 days. And to get started, here is where they can click through to buy. Okay. So it's the place where they can give me money is where you want to build your email. So go back to the website again. And of course I send everybody to the website because it's got everything. The website has the free meetups. It has the courses. It has the mastermind. It has the one-on-one coaching. It has the book sales. It has the blog. It has the podcast. It has everything on my website. It's like my one big giant sales funnel, but I have them all ending up, even if they go straight to the blog, if I just advertise freestyleliving.net, they get this to join our email list. And guess what? It takes them to Teachable. Okay.
I've been having a lot of more success interactions with my sign up on my website.
Yes. Yes. And they're giving you their email address.
Yep.
Yeah.
Email address, telephone number, what they want to do, you know.
Right.
So it's been more and more populated, I should say.
And that's what you want, because that's what you're building, is that email. And here's why. Any one of these platforms can disappear overnight. We don't control these companies. Every one of these could disappear overnight. So one of the other things that I do, even in Teachable, I don't know if you guys saw on the news a while back that some big companies were getting hacked, and the hacker was saying, pay us X amount of dollars or we're going to crash your site. Teachable actually got hacked, and Teachable decided to pay the ransom. And Teachable stayed up because they paid the ransom, because the hackers just wanted the money. And I mean, we're talking big money. And Teachable didn't want to lose their site, so they paid. Well, you know what? That's happening worldwide. So once you have your email list, you need to also save it somewhere else. You need to have backups, because you're working so hard to put all of this together. And the email list is the golden nugget, because you can recreate your website. I could recreate the whole Teachable platform. I could recreate everything. But one of the things in my Teachable was that I had all of my replay videos. And Mark was the one that said, where are you backing up your videos? And I'm like, what? And he goes, what happens if Teachable gets hacked and they don't pay the ransom next time and their site crashes? And they go, well, sorry, we're back up and running, but everything's been lost and you have to recreate everything. He said, you can't recreate the last 4 years of replays. So I got busy with Jennifer, my daughter, who is also my admin. And we started, I started from right then that day, I started to, whenever I upload a video from Zoom, I upload it into Vimeo. And then I also upload it over into Teachable. And then I also upload it over into YouTube. So now I have three places that I have that replay video. It's in three places. It's in Vimeo, it's in Teachable, and it is in YouTube. And then I've got the audio portion of it over in Audioboom. So I actually have all of those replays more than one place for that reason. And then I started right then that day doing that. So from that day forward, I had all of it. But then my Jennifer, she started from that day and she's now going backwards in Vimeo. And she is now uploading all of the Vimeo in reverse up into YouTube. So she's going to go backwards until we capture all 4 years of those replays over into YouTube. So I'll have it. It's already in Teachable and it's already in Vimeo. So I had it in two places and we're adding YouTube as a third. Is that helpful to kind of see behind the curtain a little bit about how to protect some of that stuff? And so anyway, all through here, wherever they click, they go over to my Teachable, because that is the end platform for me. That's not going to be the end platform for you, but that's the end platform for me. And even here on the one-on-one coaching, when you click to learn more about coaching, it takes you over to Teachable, because I put my coaching program into Teachable. Now, the reason I'm using Teachable is because Teachable automatically has the buy button. They automatically have a pricing, and you can, you know, here you can pay all at once, or you can pay five payments. So there's, you know, and you get five 90-minute sessions either way. So you can either pay it all at once or in a series of payments, and they can enroll now. And again, there's my questions. Can I enroll if I'm unhappy? How do I schedule my first appointment? Can I purchase coaching more than once? It's the, you know, the big questions. And I put that right over into my Teachable. And again, here is another bio about me, and it all has to fit together. Wherever somebody lands on a bio about you, it should all kind of fit together. So, and this is, if you look up here at the URL, it's also in Teachable. And so that's my whole point. And so then when you come down, and again, here's another little bio about me on the homepage, but when you come down, you can click on the book. Yes, I want the free ebook. And guess what? It takes you to Teachable. I put the download link to my free ebooks in Teachable because you know why? The person has to put their email address in to get the download. Because the whole point of a free ebook is to get more people on my email list. That's one of my free offers, to add more to my email list. So they have to see, then once they scroll down, here's the link to download the ebook here. It's over in Teachable. So they have to register with an email address to even get to this screen to download the book. Okay. So that's the whole point. Everything I'm saving over in Teachable. So then I've got my podcast, and the podcast is just the audio version of all my replays, and it is on Audioboom. And so folks can go to Audioboom and listen to those replays, but again, they have to give their email address. And then my blog. And when you go to the blog, it again asks for their email address. So that's the ultimate goal. And so for your blog, once you customize it and once you make it ready for you, that's what you're after, is to get everything into wherever it is that you're building your email list. So you have to decide now, like Sally, where does your email list go when they register with their email? Where does that go? How do you process that?
I get an email from Squarespace
that says they've registered.
Yeah.
Now, can you go into Squarespace and see the list of all your email people?
Probably, but I haven't. But so I get a thing called form submission.
Okay.
And it says contact Mermaid. So with form submission at squarespace.info. So I get that directly from Squarespace with okay. all their information.
Well, the only thing I would recommend that you do, and I love Google because it's free, and you can make groups in Google. You can manipulate those emails into different segments in Google. So, and it's all free. So I love Google for that fact. So the only thing I would recommend is that you have a backup somewhere from Squarespace. So it could be, if you go into Squarespace, and I don't know this, I'd have to explore it, but if you go into Squarespace, it very well could be that there's a place that you can import or export those emails. And so now, since all of mine are going into Teachable, and let me show you this, I go to the admin section of Teachable here. And here is all my users. And when I go to all of my users, this shows me all, and right there's Sally right at the top. And there is all of my email addresses. And I have 504 students. So I have 504 email addresses right here in Teachable. And right here, export CSV. I can click this export, and it will export this entire list of email addresses out on a spreadsheet. And I can then import it right into my Google. and I can name it my teachable list. And so now I have a backup. And my Jennifer does that for me. Now, here's another thing I want to share. Everyone that is in the paid mastermind, they have to go through Teachable to get the link, unless you guys have written it down. And Ruth and I are having this conversation and she's like, yeah, I got to go get the link every time I want to get on a call. And of course it's in Teachable because it's part of the paid mastermind. And so instead of me just advertising the link where anybody can get it, only the people that have paid for the mastermind can get that link. But when I do a webinar on Zoom, and don't know if it'll show me, if I do a webinar on Zoom, and here's my webinars, and that's one for tomorrow. I want a previous one, somebody that signed up. Here is my Happy House Hunters that I did on Tuesday. If I click on that webinar and I scroll down to the bottom of the webinar, it says I had 23 people that registered for that. And let's see, I'm not sure now how I, oh, here we go. I got to move our faces. View the attendee report. When I look at that, guess what it gives me? It gives me all of the Happy House Hunters that we had. And here I had 24, I had 10, 11, 18, 7. These are the people that registered. So if I click on this one for the 6th, right here, and generate a report, it actually puts it into a report like this. And here, I can move this over so you can see it a little better. Here is everybody that registered, and guess what it gives me? All of their email addresses. Can you all see that? Right on the webinar. Anybody that went through the registration to join the free webinar, it gives me all of their email addresses. Mm. So this is already on a spreadsheet. Now I can upload it right into Teachable and upload it right into my Google. And I now have everybody who came into that free, because remember, we're doing free at the top of our funnel to get people interested in our products and services. And these are people that were interested in listening to that particular free meetup. So now I can put those right into my Teachable. And guess what Jennifer does for me? She goes in and clicks them automatically into the free replays. And they get an email that says, here are all the free replays in case you didn't get to attend this particular event after you registered. You see how that's working? Yeah. Yes. Question.
Have to get off mute. So when you say load up into Google, are you just doing it into Drive? So it's the Google form of Excel. I can't think what that's called. But so it's just like in the Drive.
Well, now I can save it in the Drive if I want, but I actually have it uploaded right into my emails.
Oh, so
yeah, it goes right into my emails.
So your Gmail, somehow it's saving it in your contacts then?
Yes, it's saving it right in my contacts. Yeah, it comes right into my contacts. And see, then here are all my different folders, and I just put it into my folders. There's my folders.
Okay.
So I can just put all of those emails right into my folders. And then it's a backup that if you wanted, you know, you could then do it the other direction. You know, it let's say that Teachable crashes, I could then make a spreadsheet, but now I've already saved it into my Google Docs, and the Google Docs are right here, and right here's my sheets.
Right.
See, there's my sheets. So I pull up the sheets, and here's all the different sheets. And so I can just open up whatever spreadsheet that I want, and I can then upload it again right back into Teachable. If Teachable crashes and says, hey, we lost all your emails, sorry about that, I can upload it right back. It's just a way to back up.
Right.
And it's fun if you start to put some of these in place before you need them instead of after you've had a crash. Do you remember when Carrie lost his Facebook? Facebook went down, and all of a sudden that was how he was reaching his entire audience, was through Facebook. And when Facebook went down for a couple of days, they had no way, they had no backup. He had no way to reach any of some of his members. That's the only way he could reach them, was through Facebook and direct messages in the back of the house. He didn't have an email address or a phone number for a lot of his tribe. And that's when he decided he needed to have his own platform. So that's when he went with, don't quote me, is it Circle?
Yeah, it's Circle.
That's when he went with Circle, and I've got it here in my social media. Circle app. And so it's called Circle. And now his entire tribe is on Circle. So he has a way to reach those members if he needs to. And he didn't have that before. And see, in my platform is Teachable. And that's just a decision I made, because that's what's, it just kind of developed into that. I didn't sit down one day and say, everything's going to be on Teachable. I just said, okay, what, you know me, I'm all price driven. I'm like, okay, what's cheap? Well, Teachable's pretty cheap. So I went with Teachable. And so then as my student body grew, it says, you know, after so many students, you have to take the next level. So I just bought in as I needed it. And it wasn't until Mark said to me, he goes, where are you putting all of your replays? And I said, oh, in Teachable. And he goes, what happens if they crash? And I'm like, what? Oh, they won't crash. And then it was right after that, like the very next week, is when they had that hack. But Teachable said, we've paid it. We didn't lose our site. We didn't lose any of your stuff. And that's when I thought, oh, this can happen. And then right after that is when Carrie lost Facebook for several days and couldn't reach any of his tribe. And that's when I said, okay, I need to put some checks and balances in place. All right. Questions, comments. Did I open up a whole can of worms that some of you hadn't thought of? Debbie says, yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
What happens if you don't have a platform, say Teachable, to have people pay for something, and it directs, you have them directed to your website? Can you later on change it to Teachable if you create, say, even if you create free things and you want to keep track like you do, you can switch it to Teachable mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. a problem?
Yeah, all you do is you go into whatever link and you just change the embed link behind the link. And I'm going to show you an easy one because I do this all the time. Let me get rid of this over here. This is my website. And if I go to my speakers, and then I scroll down for my list of speakers, and I do this all the time. Here's my list of all of our speakers. Now, these are people that have either been a speaker for me, and Debbie, I think you're getting some of your speakers from this list. Am I right? For your,
correct.
Yeah. And so you can come down here, and when it says connect with Skip, it'll automatically go out to where whatever I put behind this button. And so what I do is I come up here at the top of my screen, and I'll maybe Google Skip Bailey. And so I'll say, where do I want to send people if they want to touch base with Skip Bailey? I don't know if I spelled his name right there. Yeah, here he is, author and life coach. And so I'll click through and say, okay, let's see where do I want to send people? I've got so many tabs open. It's taken a minute. I should close some of these. Yeah, it's not loading right away. And so once I determine where I want to send folks to, Then I will cut and paste that and put it behind the link. And so this is his website. And so if somebody says, yeah, I think I want to have Skip Bailey be one of my speakers, or Debbie says, I think I want to interview him on my Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks, this is where I want to send people to. So I will copy that, and then I'll come back over here and I'll click this button, and it'll say, where do you want this button to go? And I'll then paste that website. So now I'm here, I am, and watch me, I'm going to click. There I did. I just clicked on his button and look where it went. It went right over to his website. And so what I did on all of my speakers is I had to make sure that when you clicked on Carmela's button, it went to Carmela. It didn't go to Skip. When you clicked on Laura, it went to Laura, either her website, her LinkedIn, her email, wherever she told me she wanted it to go. And so when you click on any of their buttons, it takes you over to where they told me they wanted the button to take people. Okay, are you with me? So at any time, I can change the link. And so here's what happens. Let's say that I want to add a speaker right after Rita, and I don't want to reinvent the wheel. Oh, Elise entered. I'm going to let Elise over. What I do is I'll duplicate Rita's entire block. So now I'll have two Ritas. I'll have a Rita here, and I'll have a Rita right under. And then I update the second block to the person I'm adding. Well, I have to remember to change the button, because I've just duplicated the block, because it's faster for me to duplicate the block than it is for me to go out and find, I got to put a picture plug in, and then I got to put a paragraph plug in, and then I got to put a button plug in. Well, if I just duplicate the block, then I just update the second one that I duplicated into the person I want to add, but I have to remember to change the picture, I have to remember to change the paragraph, and I have to remember to change the link behind the button. So you can change your button. Once you have a button anywhere on your site, you can change the link behind it as many times as you need to.
Okay.
If you have a button there to connect with Debbie, you can send them to your contact page. You could send them to an email. You could send them to sign up for something. It's wherever you want to send them under that button.
Okay. Thanks.
Does that make sense?
Yes, totally.
Okay. Hi, Elise. Elise just joined us. There she is. We're talking about blogging and doing a little bit of protecting all of our material once we start developing. And the point is to get some backups in place before it gets too big and it becomes a job that you have to pay somebody to help you do the backup. Like me, I wish I would have been backing up my videos 4 years ago instead of now, because now Jennifer has to go back and she has to go through all my Vimeo and upload it into YouTube as a backup. And it's time consuming. And, mm-hmm. But now, starting from today forward, once I made the decision, the day like this one, when I upload this particular replay into Vimeo, I will automatically upload it right into YouTube at the same time. So okay. Nobody has to go back and do it later.
Totally makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And so start now thinking about where you want, you know, how you want to do your backup. Google is almost everybody has a Gmail address. And so putting all of your emails into Google is a great place to, as one of your backups. Ruth.
I got to unmute. And I don't remember how I did it, but I got a Google sign-in for my Ruth at ruthpierce.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I could do backups in that one.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. You can have as many Google addresses as you want. I'll give you another little hack. If you're going to do meetups and you go onto meetup.com, you're allowed 3 meetups for your like $99 a year. And if you want to do more than 3, you can actually, I got to look around. This is a hack. You can actually sign up for 3 more under a different Gmail address. And so when I wanted to do all my 8 lanes, of course, I could only do 3 for $99. Well, so what I did is I created another Gmail address and did 3 more. under my second Gmail address because it was cheaper than going with the pro. Mm-hmm. It was cheaper than buying the pro version. It was cheaper to have two meetup accounts than it was to go pro on the first one. Because once you go pro, you can have as many meetups as you want, but they charge you $30 a month per meetup. And it's only $99 for the whole year to have three meetups. So it was much cheaper instead of paying for six meetups, paying $60 every single month to have those meetups. Because again, I calculate that's $720 a year, and I could have six meetups for $200 a year, the 99 for three and 99 for three more. So that's why I did it with a second email account. So yes, you can have an email that you just use for your backups. Absolutely.
Well, I use it for other things too, but I'm just thinking that it doesn't have to be a Gmail address.
Correct.
It can be something else. But correct. I also want to go and look into my website because I'm sure there's a place there that I can import emails to.
Yes.
Either.
Yes. So it's whatever works for you. The overarching message I want to give today is once you start getting your branding in place and once you start blogging on a regular basis and once people start connecting with you and giving you their email addresses, that you need to start having a backup. So not only, not only for emails, but for all of the products that you're creating, even your blog posts, you should have a backup for your blog post somewhere. And again, I'm using this whole Google Docs. And so when I go here to Google Docs, here's all of my Google Docs. And so see here, 10 ways to invest in real estate, how to hit a home run and make $1,000 a week online.
You're not showing your screen right now.
Sorry.
Sorry to interrupt you, but.
Yep. So what I did is I went to my Google Docs, and here's six healthy ways to handle criticism, eight best Eventbrite alternatives to competitors. See, these are all of the different things that I've written. And so I have them here in my Google Docs as a backup. So not only are they in my Teachable, but I have them all right here mm-hmm. as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And this is saved right on my computer. But then I save all of my Google Docs in my OneDrive. So now they're in the cloud, and my daughter, my admin daughter, Jennifer, she can actually tap in because I made her a person that can access my OneDrive. And so she can tap in and get to any of these as well. So if I'm traveling and I say, Jen, I need you to, fix this article for me. I saw a mistake in it over in Teachable. She can go right there into Google Drive and pull the article up and fix it and then upload it right over into Teachable, because she is also one of my team members on Teachable.
So your blogs are in Teachable?
My blog is on HostGator.
Okay, you were saying Teachable.
But I write the blog in my Google Docs, so I have a backup. And then if I want to use the blog in one of my courses, let's say I blogged about a technical part of Happy House Hunters, for example, and I might decide that I want to use that blog in one of my courses, then I can upload the blog actually into my course as well.
Okay.
Repurpose as much content as you can. Does that make sense? Does all of that, did I like thoroughly confuse everyone today?
No, it makes sense for me. One of the ways that I enjoy also backing up my items, if it's not just in my Google Drive, I also use ClickUp. So it's kind of like an information storage, but it also helps me to kind of organize my mind and get my tasks done. It allows you to add the attachments or anything like that to your ClickUp item. And then that way, if you go through and search it, it always has a name, it has a description, it may have like the task list of what you did to complete that. So if you're creating your SOPs or things like that, you can kind of go back and see how you've done things step by step. I enjoy using mm-hmm. that.
And that's a good point. And especially as you grow, because what we're trying to do, when you start at the beginning building out this business, you want to make it so at some point it can become passive. And the best way for it to become passive is to have a program like Elise is talking about, so at some point someone else could actually pick up where you left off. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear where you left off. Because if you want the income to continue, the only way for the income to continue is for the income to be coming in when you're not physically working in the business. So you have to be thinking how you can create that passive piece of what you're doing. Whether you bring on an intern, whether like me, I just decided to pay an admin. So that way I'm still pulling all of the strings. But I can tell Jen any given week, here's what I want you to do this week. Like, for example, when my book launched this week on the 6th, I told Jen, I said, I want you to go into Amazon and I want to give away a free book to everyone that's in my Teachable, because I had all of their emails. So if anybody didn't get the link, it's because you opted out of getting emails in the Teachable platform. So if you said that you didn't want to get emails, then you would not have gotten the link. But if you did not opt out, you got a free book this past week. And I gave away 400 books this week. And it put and all the authors in the collaborative effort. They all did that. And we ended up number one in 8 categories, because anytime somebody clicked on the free book link that we sent them, it counted as a sale. And we ended up in the number one seller in 8 different categories.
So I got the free copy, and then Wendy sent out the post for the one I paid for.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah. But I would have sent out a free copy. So if you opted in to get emails from my Teachable, if when you registered for Teachable and you said that it was okay for you to receive emails, then you would have gotten a free link from me for a free book. And so I had people downloading it like immediately and sending me like, thank you for my book. Thank you. I can't wait to read, you know, your portion of it. And so all of that counted toward our sales, which again was just a marketing plan, and it worked. So here's what to know: if your book goes number one in sales on Amazon, you get the little gold logo that says you're a number one seller on Amazon. Then you can use that on your author page from then on.
You're a number one. I printed out the chapter that you wrote.
Ah, look at you! Thank you.
Yes, I was one of those right away.
Yes, thank you. So you counted toward my number one seller logo. Cool. That I now can use on all anything that I write, even if I don't go number one in the future. Because I did go number one, and I wanted to on this one, on my first one out of the chute. And so that's why I got on this train, because I knew that, you know, Wendy and having a collaborative effort, I knew there were going to be 20 of us pushing the cart in the right direction. And I thought if we could go number one in just one category, we all get to claim that we're number one best-selling authors. And we can then market that on our websites, on our business cards. We can market that everywhere we market. It's ours to use forever once we hit that one time. So that's why it was important for me to hit it. So we all agreed that we were going to spend some money to, you know, to get there. So we all sent out the link to our email list. So does all of that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I think that's a good.
Yeah, it was because we all invested to write the book. And so it was another, you know, couple $100 investment from each one of us, you know, to get across the finish line. And we all agreed that it was worth it. And it was a collective effort. And you know, they always say, you know, if you want to, how is it? If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go as a team. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And so with a collaborative effort, we were able to get across the finish line as number one bestseller on, and many of us, it's our first time authoring a book. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big deal for someone like me. Yeah, kind of a big deal. So anyway, mm-hmm. But I had all of my emails all in one place, and I already had who agreed that I could email them and who didn't, because Teachable handles that. See, and with with the way things are, you know, you can't just go to your email list that you've had for 20 years and just market everybody, because there's rules and laws that have come into place that says you have to have permission, you know, because people say, I don't want all that junk in my inbox. And so you have to have permission to email and to market people. So Teachable automatically does that for me. Because when my people go over there to register for anything, number one, they're the ones registering. And so when they go to register, part of the Teachable says, do you want emails, you know, from this vendor? And they can say yes or no. Mm-hmm. So well, if anybody gets the link and wants the link, let me know. But if again, it could be that you just had opted out in the Teachable. And I don't know, Elise, did you get a link? I think you might be opted out to get emails.
Oh no, I got it. I was gonna say I was in the boat with Debbie. I already read your part. I was already in there.
Good.
Like, this part right now.
Okay. Well, and of you, it's the story you've already heard, but it's the fact that I have it in print now to the masses is, again, it's a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And in the email, it's stressed, you only had 24 hours to download it. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to be left behind.
And see, and we did that because we were trying to get, you have to do it within so many hours of launch for it to count toward the number one status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why we worded it that way. So anyway, so you get it, but it's the whole thing is just a process, and don't try to invent everything at once. It's a process. Just pick one thing and just get good at one thing. Mm-hmm. Just pick the one thing and get good at one thing and just do that for a while. This is my 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. This is my fifth year. And if you're building a brick and mortar business, it takes 3 to 5 years for that business to really turn the corner. Somewhere between the third and fifth year, it starts paying for itself and starts giving you some profit. And then depending on your skill set, you know, your pizza shop or your hair salon or whatever business you started is just going to get better and better and better. It's the same for an online business. It takes 3 to 5 years for your business to finally, you know, make a stand, for people to know you're there, for people to start connecting with you. Some folks have been watching you from the wings and you don't even know they're watching you. I'll go to dinner and someone will come up to me and go, oh my gosh, you're Kathy Benner. I've been following everything you do on Facebook for 3 years. And I'm like, who are you? They've never bought anything. They've never tapped into anything, but they're watching. See, they're watching. And I just had 2 coaching clients sign up and they paid the full $500 to be a coaching client here just recently. Yeah, Ruth says she has to go. Ruth, I get it. We're after one. Yes. Thank you. And sign in. Ruth's got in the chat. She's got her link for her masterclass. So make sure you save that, her link there. So anyway, folks have been watching, and I had 2 folks that just sign up. So I made $1,000 this past week. And these folks have been watching me for 3 years. And they keep saying, I knew that I wanted to get some coaching with you. I knew I wanted to go to the next level, and it just, the time wasn't right. And now that we feel the time is right. And so what if I could add a couple of coaching clients a week, $1,000 less, $52,000 a year, just in a couple of coaching clients a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how it will snowball, but you have to just get good at one thing at a time. Don't try to build the whole thing. Because
I'm sorry.
No. Your head will just go.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Do you generally have them do a 30-minute strategy, the free, and then you find that they sign up for your coaching?
It depends. It depends. I've had folks that, it's a personality thing. Some folks, they hesitate to pull the trigger. So they'll do the 30-minute strategy call. Then they'll come to some of the free meetups, and then they'll finally maybe buy the course, and then they'll finally join the mastermind, and then they'll they'll listen to all the replays if they're still working. And then finally they go, okay, now I'm ready. I need some coaching one-on-one because I want to move faster. I now know what I want to do, because they don't know. They don't know really what they want to do yet. And once that's clear, then they're ready to go forward and invest in themselves and say, I now know where I want to go. I need help getting there. Some folks, they already know, like the last little gal that just signed up, her dad has been in our Happy House Hunters group for some time. And so she's young and she wanted to start a blog and she wants to monetize this blog. And she knows what she wants to talk about. She did this overseas school and she loves everything about it. And so she wants to blog all about her experience with this school and what she learned and what she's doing. And the school has agreed to actually pay her a stipend for writing about them. So she has basically been hired as a writer for the school and she wants to do it in the form of a blog. Well, she wants to do it right because she's getting paid by the school to do it. And that's how she's going to monetize it. And she just says, Kathy, I gotta make sure my foundation on this blog is right. So she just went straight to the coaching. She said, I don't need to listen to replays for a year and go through. She said, I just want to come. I already know what I want to write about. I'm already getting paid. I got to get there on the fast track. And so she's going to do her coaching calls right together because I'm going to go in on the computer with her and we're just going to get her launched and get her with 10 posts under her belt. So that when she goes back to the board of directors of this school, she can show them, I've launched my blog and here's my first 10 blog posts that I wrote about your school.
Okay.
So she went straight to the coaching. And so I know where her objective. And so I worked with her schedule. I did not make her fit my schedule. I worked with her schedule because she wants to meet with me 5 times rather quickly. So that she can show the school that she's doing what they hired her to do.
Hey, Kathy, I have to jump off.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Any question or any aha moment before you go?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Sally.
Thanks.
Bye, Sally.
See you. Bye.
All right. Debbie, any questions from you or comments or thoughts?
No, but you've opened many windows that were just a little cracked. Now they're bigger. And I'm I'm glad I was able to jump on this today. So but I do have to get going myself. So thanks a lot, Kathy.
All right. I appreciate it.
Yes, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Bye, Debbie.
Bye, Elise. I'll be in touch.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, Elise, how about you? You jumped in kind of late. Any comment or question?
No, I think that all the information was great. I know it is. It's always a just start kind of thing and just understanding what you want to talk about. So I thought it was great information. Thank you.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, you can circle back and listen to the whole replay. And for folks that are listening to this later, it's under kathybinner.com. Scroll down to the bloggers lane and you can go across there. There's free meetups, there's the course, and there's also the mastermind. And this is the mastermind today. So jump in, the water's fine. See everyone later. Bye.
See ya. Bye.